Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, folks. Is the U.S. and the G7 ignoring a blatantly obvious opportunity to pay for the Ukrainian war? You heard me talk last week about an opinion piece in the New York Post authored by Yulia Zyskina for Razom, and she actually joins us. She's a senior legal fellow there. Yulia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
So I really enjoyed reading your piece. There's not been a lot of conversation, at least that I'm aware of, about this issue. To me, it makes perfect sense. Since I read the article, it seems as though it made its way around and a lot of other people are beginning to comment on it. If you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, talk to them about how we end up with Russian assets in our banking systems and what we are legally entitled to do with them.
Sure, that's a great question, and thank you for asking that. So the state of Russia, before the full-scale invasion, invested its assets into the U.S. system. After the full-scale invasion in February 2022, the U.S. and the rest of the G7 froze those assets. So now they are sitting in U.S. banks. Total worldwide, there is about $300 billion. The U.S. share is about $5 billion. In April 2024, Congress passed what's called the Repo Act, which essentially gives the president the authority to seize and transfer those frozen Russian state assets to be used for Ukraine's benefit, whether that's defense, reconstruction, recovery, or any other need that the Secretary of State deems is appropriate. However, President Biden did not use this authority while he was still in office. But President Trump now has this perfect golden opportunity to do that.
So what was the hesitation? Why? I mean, it seems to me it makes perfect sense to use Russia's money to help defend Ukraine.
It really does make perfect sense. You know, the choice is between taxpayer money or Russia's money. It should be pretty clear. However, the official excuse from the Biden administration was that they wanted to move together collectively with the rest of the G7, which, you know, yes, in theory, that's a good idea. However, that really gives Europe a veto over what the United States does. That's not good policy. So by the U.S. taking this leadership move, it can force Europe to act with it. So it's Trump can do what Biden didn't, and that's to take a clear leadership role instead of waiting for somebody else to lead.
Has this been done before?
Yes, it actually has. While the circumstances weren't completely the same, this was done in 1992. When Iraq invaded Kuwait, and occupied Kuwait, the U.S. seized frozen Iraqi state assets and moved them into the Bank of England at the time, where then they were dispersed through the U.N. Security Council to aid the victims of Iraq's unlawful invasion of Kuwait. However, here the difference is, well, we don't have the UN Security Council mechanism because, well, Russia sits on the UN Security Council. But there are other ways to do this. And we do have precedents and examples from history that show that it can be done.
It seems as though there may be some members of the G7 that are looking at this more favorably since your article was published. Keir Starmer in the UK is actually talking more about it. Rishi Sunak, the former prime minister there, applauds his looking at that and goes a little further and says that we actually have a moral obligation to do this. And I read his piece very closely, and I really agree with some of what he said as to moving forward, how we ought to go about doing this. And then the Russians reacted. And they talked about if this money is going to be used for the rebuild of the country of Ukraine, it should also apply to the one-fifth of the territory that we've taken away from Ukraine, and a proportionate amount ought to be spent there. There's no bounds to the arrogance of the Russian people. I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, the audacity
Your
is
thoughts.
Real.
I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I had to read it three times. It's like, what?
You're not alone in that. It's an incredible proposal. But Keir Starmer is right that this is a moral obligation, and it's recognized under international law that when a country invades another sovereign country, that they owe compensation. It's really as simple as that. The aggressor needs to pay. So this is an existing debt that Russia won't willingly ever voluntarily do, unless it's, like you said, they want to use that money for territories that it occupies. But this money is within the control of countries that do uphold the rule of law. And we have that power. The U.S. has that power. The U.S. actually has a law that no other country does. So it's really up, as the leader of the free world, it's up to us to lead to get this done.
You know, it's a little disheartening because early onset we saw where they were, you know, seizing the yachts of Russian oligarchs, and it was all over the news. Everybody was making a big deal out of it. But, you know, that asset is de minimis as it relates to the hundreds of billions of dollars that are out there in other, you know, obviously more useful assets, cold cash, than the boats. And you didn't hear much about it. And interestingly as well, and maybe you have, I haven't heard much about it as we talk preliminarily are talking through these negotiations. I think Trump's going to be with Putin tomorrow night, is what the most recent reporting reveals. Have you heard whether or not this is an issue that's been brought up through the course of these negotiations?
Well, it's been, no one's quite sure the details of those negotiations, but there have been some reports that the Russians are pressuring the U.S. for this money back. Which, you know, is not unexpected. However, no. It would be disgraceful, to put it lightly, for the U.S. to give this money back to the Russians. That would be handing Putin a Western bailout of the money that he spent on this war. What I think people don't also quite understand is that we would actually be paying for that bailout. And this is because back in fall of last year, the G7, including the U.S., fronted a loan to Ukraine of about $50 billion. The U.S. share was $20 billion. That is supposed to be repaid from the future interest on the frozen assets. So by returning those assets, the loan can't be repaid using Russia's money. So who repays? U.S. taxpayers. That's another reason why this money can't go back to Russia. it puts us on the hook.
Yeah, I just don't understand how anyone can stand before the citizens of the U.S. and characterize any part of a deal as being a good deal by us giving this money back to Russia. He's upside down in the polls right now, meaning President Trump, as to the way that he's handling this situation. I would think that this would actually put him in the tank on this issue. That U.S. taxpayers will be bailing Vladimir Putin out. I can't imagine they want any part of that.
You know, I think you're probably right. This measure has huge public support from all both sides of the aisle. There's really not much to argue with. You know, when you come down to the very principle, should we spend, American money or should we spend Russia's money? It's really that simple. The Repo Act passed with a very clear bipartisan majority. I think even more Republicans actually voted for it. So it would be very unpopular for Trump to do this. But we'll see. And I think that's why we need to keep having these conversations to communicate to the administration that this would be a hugely unpopular move.
And you know, the audacity, as you said earlier, it really has no bounds, right? Because in reaction to the ceasefire, Vladimir Putin says that there's not enough conditions. So, for example, he wants to limit the size of the Ukrainian army. Wonder why. He wants to make sure that there's no improvement in armaments that are delivered to the Ukrainian army during the ceasefire. But meanwhile, he can continue to produce and receive from both North Korea and China weaponry, no restrictions on his part. And if there was, we have no way of policing and knowing whether or not he's getting them or not, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't understand how we're going to manage what's out there. And they just basically want Ukraine frozen in time during this period, and they go on unrestricted. Don't get that either.
That's right. I mean, you one could ask a very simple question. Why would Putin want Ukraine to stop building its army, to stop training soldiers, and to keep building up its own army if it didn't plan to attack again? I think that's very clear. And the frozen assets play a huge role in this, too, because if the only way to get Putin to stop his war is to make him believe that there is no way for him to continue it. By keeping these assets frozen and keeping them on the table and potentially even returning them to Putin, that gives him an idea, saying, well, I could use this money to bolster a war economy, to create more military supplies and to keep the war running. But by taking those assets off the table and to use them for Ukrainian defense or Ukrainian reconstruction, that takes that power away from him. It's really one of the most powerful tools that we have.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah. We're visiting with Yulia Zyskina, senior legal fellow at Razom. Yulia, this thought process, I just want to, the reaction of Ukrainians where they would cede more territory to Russia in order to bring about an end to this war. I can't imagine that's going to sit well with the citizens of Ukraine, right?
No, it's hugely unpopular. And Ukraine will never recognize these territories as Russian because they're not. Russia unlawfully annexed Crimea and unlawfully invaded the south and the east. Of course, we understand the need for a ceasefire and for peace. However, there really can't be peace until Ukraine's lands are returned under international law. There are people on those occupied territories that have been documented to be tortured, raped, and all sorts of horrible war crimes committed. And so we have those territories back. I think there will be no justice.
I mean, do you really believe, because I don't, that putting a peacekeeping force in Ukraine is really going to make a difference? I don't see it. I mean, I almost see this more of a, not exactly, but some semblance of what's going on in the Middle East right now. I mean, I just don't see overcoming a lot of these ideological battles over whether or not the sanctity of the Ukrainian border should be maintained or not. I believe the Ukrainians believe that. I would have hoped the United States would have believed that, because I like to put up myself in the Ukrainian shoes. I know if I was a leader of that country, it's like, no, I'm not giving up any land. Why? I've done nothing to Russia. They don't like that we're independent. I mean, they so we move forward. Are they going to like our independence even more and after having taken one-fifth of our land? I suspect not.
That's exactly right. Russia, unfortunately, won't stop at just one-fifth of Ukrainian land. It won't even stop at Ukraine. This is Russia's stated goal. And, Moldova might be next, Poland, the Baltics, and then after that, well, there's Europe, and then we are truly in World War III. So right now is our opportunity to nip this in the bud, to show that, you know, Russia can't keep expanding and can't keep waging illegal wars of aggression. You're right that Putin won't stop at just one-fifth of Ukraine or all of Ukraine.
And I guess the reason I should say that I don't believe in the peacekeeping forces there really being effective is that I think Russia is not going to, if the peacekeeping forces are there, they're not going to attack Ukraine directly. They're going to do so indirectly and through misdirection and creating issues relative to the governance of their country and being disruptive in other ways, many ways that they've deployed for the last 20 years, right?
That's right. You're completely right. That this isn't just a war that's being fought on land. It's also a war that's being fought in a hybrid way. So there have been numerous documented cyber attacks all across the world, including in the U.S. by the Russians. There's been interference with our political system and in other countries' systems. Russia has cut wires in in the Baltics and in Finland, and it's fighting this war on many, many more fronts than just on the ground. And unfortunately, we're playing a game of catch up. And until we realize that, and until we fight back in a more serious way, Russia is going to keep beating us. So this is, I think, this is something that we collectively need to come to terms with.
So what do you think the next step is for Ukraine? I mean, obviously the meeting in D.C. did not go very well. I understand the emotions of President Zelensky trying to hold on to the territorial boundaries of Ukraine, and others not understanding, I guess, all of the reason behind that. Get to the ceasefire, and then Russia turns it down. And we're still waiting, I guess, at the present time. The president's going to meet with Vladimir Putin tomorrow night. Be interesting to see what we come out with. But it hasn't been a warm and fuzzy thus far.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, I think Zelensky's in a very tough position in that, he's protecting his country and wanting to do what's best for his country and, by extension, Europe and the world. What's next for Ukraine, it's very hard to say. We don't know what will come out of these U.S.-Russia talks. However, what's clear is that Ukraine needs to be a party to whatever is decided. So U.S. and Russia can't bilaterally together decide what's going to happen to Ukraine without Ukraine being at the table. So whatever it is, Ukraine must have a say. And Europe also has a role to play here as well. If Europe doesn't find the agreement between U.S. and Russia to be sufficient for its defense and for its future, Europe needs to step up. This is something that I do think the Trump administration did get right, and that Europe needs to build up its own defense in order to earn the seat at the table. So that's another part of this that I think we're not quite seeing yet, but I do think Europe is building up its own defenses and it's moving in a positive direction in order to claim that at the table. Because if you're not at the table, well, you're on the menu.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me. I mean, the simple basic premise of strength in numbers really applies here. It's why Ukraine, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and others have expressed, over the past several decades, their willingness to want to get involved in NATO. Because that, you bring together more GDPs, it makes it a lot easier. But where we are right now is, I think, an interesting phenomenon, because most NATO countries financially are not in good shape. And, where the numbers they're talking about on percentage of GDP to go fund their military is going to be a stretch for the strongest of those NATO nations. I don't know what the others are going to do. I think it's literally impossible for them to contribute that those numbers that they're looking for in order to really stand up against Russia without assuming that the U.S. is not standing side by side with them. I just think it's a difficult task. Real quick, your thoughts.
Of course it will be difficult, but to circle back to the beginning of our conversation, there's also 200 billion euro of frozen Russian assets frozen in Europe. It, just to put that number into perspective, that is about three times the amount of aid that the U.S. has sent to Ukraine in the past 3 years. That's a huge, huge number. So that money can be used for defense. It could also be used for reconstruction, which frees up some room for Europe defending itself as well. So this is a really, really important part of it. And if you really think about it, the 200 billion euro, that's Europe's greatest weapon in this war. It just needs to make the decision to use it.
Well, it's the most impactful because it's there, right? And it doesn't take
exactly.
any time. It exists. It's sitting right in front of their eyes. So, unlike a lot of aspirational stuff that we hear about each and every day. Thank you so much for joining us today. Yulia Zeskina, senior legal fellow at Rizome. I loved your article. I've talked about it many, many times on this show, waiting for you to come on. And we thank you for taking time out to join us, and we appreciate saying.
Thank you so much. Glad to be on.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omised.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.